Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, yeah, you guys are college age. So you're like between the ages of 18 and like 22, 21?
Yeah.
Good, okay. I just had to get my, because I'm old. I've been out of school for a little bit, so it's interesting to feel kind of the older person in the room, because I'm really a child at heart. So anyway, I am super excited to be here, and I walked quite a few steps between parking at Haas Pavilion and then asking people like, hey, where's Haas? And they're like, that way. And I'm like, okay. So I ended up up the hill, and and then I was just thinking as I was listening to, what's your name?
Justin.
I was like, that's kind of how like this whole like, I don't know, it's like, you know, the theme of what I want to talk about, apart from it just being Imago Dei, like I believe that I was made in the image of God. And so what I used to think was that God looks like me. How cool is that? And not quite how it works. Like God, in my experience, he's other. You know, he's a completely different creature than I can even fathom. I have experiences of God, and I hear about God's love and his nature through the scripture, but like, I don't know what it looks like, but there's something that he's created that is me, right? He's created my heart. He's created these things that we know when we're kind of in the right direction that are of God. And if you're here and you have no idea what I'm talking about, like if you're seeking God or you're hoping to know God, or you know somebody who loves God a lot, how many of you guys know people who love God? Yeah, and there's something about them. They're just like, they kind of are, they know that they're loved, and so they're rooted in a place of, I don't know, of presence, of position, of authority, of like of non-desperation, right? And that's what my experience over time is, that as I fall more in love with God and as I become more aware of how much he loves me, I don't need the false loves, that the seductive loves that are out there, right? And I have so many notes that I like thought I was gonna have for you, but I may not need to use them because I don't know, I just feel like when I was thinking about this, I was thinking more about the Imago Dei, the image and qualities of God, and what I pulled from my car before I came in is this book, which I'm so in love with. It's called Love Walk Among Us, you know. And so when Justin was sharing about love, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm made in the image of God. And so when I love him and love others, I'm in my best form, because that's what he did for me. And so we know Jesus, God, folded himself into humanity, took on the personhood of Jesus, so he walked among us like he was a real living and breathing man. He actually came to earth as a baby. So I want you to think about how amazingly Jedi that is. Like, you have all the power in the universe, and you decide that you're going to, like, invade humanity as a baby. In a manger, like, completely vulnerable. Like, I mean, literally anything could have happened. And then from that state, he grew up in obscurity. He knew who he was, though. That was the thing. At all times, he knew who he was. He knew he was loved by his father. And he was in alignment with his father. And so, and then at the age of 33, his basically ministry started at a wedding. And you guys have heard that story where Jesus turned water into wine. So how many of you guys believe in miracles? You guys are pros, right? I mean, that's so cool. Just to be open to things that my mind cannot necessarily conceive. And like, for me, and I'll talk a little bit about my story because I want you guys to get that, but being at school and being an academic, I love using my brain. And how many of you like love those arguments that just go on and on and on? You're sitting in your hallway and you're just like debating, like, you know, you're debating what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know, those kind of like deep conversations. And what's so nice is that while I can ponder all that stuff, the love of God is not rational, okay? And it is not convenient to love the way Jesus is asking us to love. It's like, well, I could love all the people that look like me and sound like me and feel like me, but he's calling me to love even my enemies. Right? So even, he's calling me to love the people that at first pass I'd want to avoid, right? So first I have to be willing to admit that I'd be willing to avoid those people. So let's just all take a moment. How many of you have people in your life that you avoid? Yeah, isn't that so? We have a long way to go, right? To get to that point where I can love people beyond what my human self wants me to do. Because I want to categorize, I want to criticize, like just all the things that humans do. And God, in spite of us, came to the earth so he could show us a way to love, because it's a way back to love. Because when I am in that kind of love, I'm my best self. And that is when I am the image of God. I'm in the image of God. And I want this not to sound lofty, because I'm going to share you guys a little bit of my story so you know that I'm a completely broken vessel that looks put together, but it's only by the grace of God. And so you guys are at such a prime point in your life, like before you go out into the big bad world, and there's all these options and decisions you have to make, and you have a chance to have the deep abiding love of Jesus Christ be your guide. And that might sound just like insane or whatever, but like things are comfortable in school. And then you get out and it's like a year or two in and you're literally having to make decisions. Your parents aren't around, you know. You're making decisions that could order and align your life towards your calling, towards your purpose, towards that perfect love. And it will be hard. It will be hard. And so, well, then what do? I surround myself with other people who know that they're loved by God. Because I'm going to need that. I'm going to need wise counsel in my life. My friends, like I live in the city and I went to Stanford, let it be known. Come on. Yes. Oh, not even. Oh my gosh. Okay. That's pretty cool. This is awesome. Anyway, yes, I wouldn't even go to it, but yeah, getting out and like having or getting to make decisions. Cause I'll just tell you guys my story. Like I was a good kid. And when you're that good and that perfect, you kind of don't need God. I mean, you know him, and you know, but you're like, dude, I got this. I'm good, you're good, and we're fine. And then, and especially like I was up on the website, and I was like, you guys are just so like, you're in such a great position, you know, to have your minds be oriented towards kind of holy things, right? I saw pictures of like gratitude, people being able to, when they win things, hit their knees, like that is, this is like high art out in the real world, right? To actually, to not be leading by all the things of the world, with competition and envy and all that stuff, that it's just so easy to take on, and to have gratitude and love be what you're kind of living by, this is real stuff. So I'm gonna tell you a little bit of my testimony so you can understand. Like, I was born to two parents who loved me, and it was a Christian home. They were very intellectual, so it was almost like, yeah, we all know God is, and my father's Nigerian, so my culture, Igbo culture, is pretty, tends to be Protestant, and so, you know, you always have an aunt who goes to church all day long and prays all day long for you, and so God was just kind of like a given. When I was 5 years old, I had an experience with God. My mom put me in front of Jesus of Nazareth, and for some reason, I came to believe. I mean, I literally just believed what I saw was true, and I saw him do things, and I thought, oh, cool, I want to do that one day. And so fast forward to age 13, by that time, my parents are divorced, and that is not what I expected. I mean, they were intellectuals. They should have been fine, and they weren't. And so that was kind of a little, like, interruption into my concept of love. And then it's somewhere in that period of time, I also was like, oh, well, then I got to do this alone. I got to figure this life thing out on my own. By the grace of God, I still had some faith, but obviously the house was no longer as orderly and as organized, and going to church was not happening. And I remember this kid evangelizing. I don't know what this was about, but this kid, 13 years old, comes knocking on doors, and he's literally evangelizing. I mean, it's like so cool. And he's a kid, I'm a kid, and he knocks on the door, and I'm not really supposed to be opening the door, but I peek out, and I'm like, oh, hi. And then he's like, oh, we want to invite Jesus into your heart. And I was like, what? I mean, it was like such a weird concept. Like, believing in Jesus was one thing, but your heart thing, I was like, I don't get it, you know? And we said a prayer. And I'm saying this because when I got into school, it was really easy to judge different modalities of people who carry the message of God. Because once I became intellectual, or so, you know, whatever, as I became more intellectual, it competed with the things of God. Like in the scripture says that we have to submit basically all of our vain imaginations, right? And my vain imagination could be like how smart I am and how much I can argue, but the love of God has to take precedence in my life. And so, yeah, so at 13, this kid knocks on the door and, you know, opens, and I'm, and some reason it went from being like my parents' God to my God, right? There was something about that transaction. It was a like, my, you know, kid, fellow kid, and so from there, but again, you know, I have to say that as a 13-year-old kid, I was pretty prideful. Like, I just got a lot of good grades, and I made friends easily, and so you could not touch me, right? And I kind of survived with that philosophy throughout college. You know, I got into a really good school, and it was just kind of the normal thing. And I was a goody two-shoes enough that I didn't drink, and I didn't do all these things that, you know, a lot of people did, which was a grace, I realized. Like, you know, again, I'm not necessarily saying that people can't drink at all, but, like, the whole drunk thing is not a good look. And if you're female, I'm just saying, speaking to the women, it's just not a good look. And so I just through college was, you know, I still was, you know, paying attention to school and doing all that. But why I was so excited about this opportunity was because Jesus was very personal to me, but I didn't necessarily have a lot of friends who were also trying to sort out and walk out their faith in these kind of environments. I was a geek, I was an electrical engineer, and I was just like studying a lot, and like nothing really came my way, so I didn't have anything to decide, you know, basically. So when I got out of school, I did get married. I got married to basically like my college boyfriend, and we tried to build a life together, and that's when kind of the lack of love that I received in childhood started to kind of interrupt the experiences that I was having. So what I'm basically preaching and telling you guys is that it is so important at this phase in your life to consider whether it's a mentor, whether it's an organization, like think ahead to those first 2, 3, 4, 5 years, because they can kind of set and direct your path, right? And you guys probably hear this, but I'm really trying to say, like, I work at a church and I get to experience the chronic loneliness of people who don't have mentorship, who don't have connection, even though everybody looks like they're having a lot of fun. And it's the soul cry, it's a soul hunger that Justin was talking about. I have to be feeding my soul, because as a believer, I'm in the image of God, and if I want to be like him, I gotta hang out with him, right? And I hang out with him by actually spending time with him, but then I also hang out with him by surrounding myself with others. So I think the thing I want to say about my story is that I just did everything by myself, you know? Again, I came from a broken home, so it was easy to use that as an excuse. So when my life basically fell apart, I got divorced. That was something, a big thing of shame for a long time. But I wanted to humanize this broken vessel. Is that, again, I was just thinking my intellect led the way. I knew about God, right? But was I practicing God? I mean, how do you practice the love of God? I mean, do you like hug people? Like, what do you do? What is this thing that we do as Christians? How do we love people? We love them back into wholeness. Do I come into a room and I scan the person that nobody else is talking to? You know, is that my, like, you know, because the other people have friends, so why not do that, right? I mean, these sound really simplistic things, but it's a way of life. Jesus's way of life was he left the 99 to go after the one. That's a radical kind of love. He was powerful, he was God, and then he submitted himself to the form of man, entered as a weak vessel, and then grew up under the world's conditions, which he really didn't have to, but he did. He submitted himself to that. And then he endured the cross so that we, all of us, can live by the power of the Spirit, right? So if I'm talking about this and nobody's really resonating, like, please talk to me after, but just about what does that mean? So I think what I'm trying to get to is my limited human capacity to love is completely flawed. And I have a lot of experience with that in my life, a failed marriage, was evidence. Like, I tried my best, and I was as perfect as people could be. I'm saying it, I'm not, I wasn't, but that's what I thought. And so at some, when my life fell apart, that was when the relentless pursuit of God invaded my life. That's when he entered, when I was broken enough to need him, right? And so from that place of brokenness and desperation, I found the love of God. And he has, by his amazing grace and wisdom, been putting me back together a piece at a time. And it's so pretty amazing because it's a depth and a width that I did not know. And everybody's going to have their story. Like, people don't have to go through that kind of story to kind of meet God. But God pursues me. And that's kind of what we know of Christ, is that that's kind of what's different about different religions, is that a lot of religions, man is pursuing God, but in Christianity, God pursued man. And that's like so radical. Like, I literally had to research on, like, is that true? But yeah, a lot of other ones, they're trying to make the human be God. You know, they're trying to ascend or something. And then in Christianity, God pursued man and became one of him so that we would know what our potential is, right? So my potential is to love with the power of God helping me, right? So I get to die to myself, which is my ego. And believe me, our egos want to run the show all the time. And I'm just saying, you guys are rock stars, by the way. Like, you guys are the top of the top. Like, you're physically able. Like, you're physically beautiful, right? And you're, like, successful, right? Come on, like, agree with me, right? Like you got to pull your own cover, seriously. Because I'm going to tell you that when you are right-sized with the love of God, literally in your heart, it is such a beautiful thing. And I feel like this message in particular is for someone. Like, I have some scripture that I wanted to read for you that I printed out, if I can organize my notes. To just understand that God's promises are real, right? And I think the people that I really want to be speaking to right now are the people, the people I want to speak to are the people that you're going through all the motions and you know what you're supposed to do and you're a pretty good kid. And your question is, what more is there? Like, you're just like, I just want to be married one day. Like, I don't care about all this stuff. I just want to have a guy. Like, or your guys, like, I just want to be married. Like, it's like, I this is all really nice. Like, let's hurry up and get to, being here, love of God, help me get like a partner or whatever. Like, yeah, I want a boyfriend, I want, you know. And those things are really good desires, right? Because God said when he created Adam, he was like, it's not good for man to be alone, right? So, and God himself exists as we, God, the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So he exists in community. So God himself needs community, right? So I get to build community. So what I was trying to get to is that these decisions that you're making, I'm really trying not to point my finger, but anyway, I'm not trying not to be like, you should do this, you should do this. But what I just want to say, that the exquisite joy that I found in meeting God allowed us to enter into a relationship that finally got honest and vulnerable. And so, you know, how can I groom myself so that I am believing and walking in this Imago Dei? Right, which is the concept, is the Italian word that, and not Italian, sorry, Latin word, that is saying that I'm made in the image of God. And how many of you believe that right now? Okay, that's a good. And how many of you, you're just like, Are you willing to raise your hands? Yeah, good. Yeah. And let's just sit with that for a while. Well, who am I made in the image of? That's a good question. Right? Because I want to know where I'm pointing to, where I'm focusing, right? Being raised by God, in addition to being raised by everything else, but like, you know, being in the image of God, right? Like, well, I want my heart to look like God's heart. How many of you want your heart to look like God's heart? Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I want my heart to look like God's heart. So, you don't have to be completely beat up and battered by life to do that. You can choose it, right? And so what I wanted to say was like, it's like you get to choose this, right, at a good point in your life. It's like, gosh, how am I doing on that loving God thing? How am I doing on that loving others thing? Like, is everybody in my life just like me and they're all like super rock star? Oh yeah, well, I did that whole mission thing, like, you know, last week, but my day-to-day life, right? And so I want to give you a gift of considering that you can, by giving up yourself a little bit at a time each day, can enter into this relationship with God, because he's pursuing us at all times, right? And so I can engage with him as I model myself to him, okay? And so, you know, this book that I want to, like, recommend, which is Love Walked Among Us, I highly, highly recommend it. It's called by Paul Miller, and it's talking about the personality of Jesus. So Jesus, you know, he was a real person, and it's kind of funny because he was kind of like a rock star. He rocked it, right? He's wearing his sandals, and he's like, you know, and everybody's like, they're trying to make him famous, and he's like, and they're like, dude, you know, you do all these miracles and do all these great things, and he's like, and so they're like, we want to make you famous, like, we need to tell people about you, and he's like, no, he would like dodge out and then go care for like the grieving widow. Like, and then he'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he'd be like some other place. And then he was like on the Sabbath where there was like high rule followers. I used to be a high rule follower. I'd be like, come on guys, I've got to keep the rules. How many of you guys are rule followers? Come on. You guys are getting good grades. Yeah, you are, right? How many of you try to get other people to follow the rules that you've invented for them, right? Little control freaks. Okay, so anyway, that whole thing. But yeah, so like, you know, the rule followers, they were the Pharisees. Anyway, they were like, you know, chasing him down. They were like always trying to catch him in a lie or trying to like see if he's like weird or whatever. And then, you know, on the Sabbath, they're like, is it okay to heal, right? Is it okay to heal? Like, and I'm just thinking like, wow, like, the fact that that was even a question is so strange. It's like, well, I'm just trying to get my coffee. Like, do I have to be nice to the barista? Like, no, you don't. But you get to have the fruit of what it's like if you kind of like pay attention, right? And so when I asked the question about miracles, I was saying is that I get to engage with God. Like, when I'm present, life is so incredibly beautiful. And I think why I'm just trying to say that is that because I used to be such a goody two-shoes, I just didn't even stop to smell the flowers because I was so busy thinking about how awesome I was. Like, one of the humility steps I took today is, like, as I'm coming here, like, you guys have to understand, the kind of person I used to be is I would have to spend time in the bathroom checking before I came up to talk to you. Like, it was super important. And I'm just saying that, like, I'm trying to mention these things because I literally was so focused on the external thing of what I thought that I didn't tend to the heart. And I'm just telling you, like, the language of the heart, man, it's so beautiful. It's like when your heart can be full and you're just like, like Jesus was, you know, he's like, oh, you know, but he's like, heart is pure. It's like pure as light, you know? It's like, that's kind of cool. And like, that's who I want to be, right? And how do I get that way? It's so countercultural to love like Jesus. It's not all the music that I listen to where they're telling you like, love, 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 you know? It's a countercultural way. And so I study the life of Jesus to find out how he loved. And so this book, like I said, Love Walked Among Us, talks about that, learning to love like Jesus. And it was radical. You know, he completely changed the world by the way he loved. How many of you would like to change the world by the way you love? Yeah, I know, that's a good goal, right? So yeah, and changing the world could literally be helping one person along their way that you actually never see again and don't know how their story ends, right? So you could literally just do that, and then like 10 years later, and this is an experience that happened to me. I was sharing one time at a kid's thing. It was like a lockdown juvie facility. And I was in there, and I was like, I'm a musician also, that's one of the things I get to do. And I was there, and I was just doing some weird music, and I wasn't up to date at all with what the kids were doing. It's kind of like this, I don't know why. I was like, oh my God, they're young, you know? And you know, in the middle of this thing, we start doing this music session, and one of the kids walks up, and he just starts freestyling, and then next thing you know, we're doing a jam together, Anyway, it was a lockdown facility, so they were really watching us, and they were really like, it was like too rowdy for them, right? But I connected with this one guy. I don't rap. I know, I'm black and I don't rap. Okay, I know, I just said that. I know, I did. But it's true. And I don't listen to reggae music. Okay, that's true. And I'm just saying those things. So anyway, I'm talking with this kid and we're relating, and we have this moment. And I just, afterwards, I just said, gosh, your heart is so beautiful. Right? Because one of my practices is to try to see people's heart and not see the externals as much. Because that's how I lead. I'm just like, oh, you're there. So I try to set that aside and go after the heart. Right? And so I shared this with this guy. I mean, he's just a kid. I don't know. And then I get out of there. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. Like, those kids, like, they'll be in there for years. And when they're 18, like, who knows what happens next, right? And I kid you not, this happened in San Francisco. I was, like, parking my car, going to some random place. And all of a sudden, this kid's on a skateboard, and he's like, hey, hey, ma'am, ma'am, ma'am. He's like, did you speak at the blah, 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 blah thing, like, 2 years ago, somewhere to go? He's like, oh, you know that kid you singled out? I didn't remember the kid, but he's reminding me. He's like, yeah, something you said to him made him decide that he wanted to, like, change his life and actually, pursue life. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, I just thought I'd tell you. And I was like, whoa. Like, that's crazy, right? And I tell that story often because it just like made my day, it made my whatever. So yeah, I think, you know, I'm not really even sure how much time I have. How much more time do I have? Like, I'm getting there. Okay, good. Yeah, because I've been talking for a little bit. I do want to kind of read you some things. I'm just trying to think of what in particular. I just am laughing because I'm like, only God would do that. There's not an official podium. I have all these like notes that I wanted to share. And I'm like, he's just like, no, just be you. That's enough. He's like, just be you. But I will read one of these stories from this book because I think... So let me just end, like, basically, when God came back to my life and I was broken, I basically surrendered and was just like, okay, Lord, we'll do it your way. And what his way looked like was I just wanted to be of service however I could. I just wanted to keep my life really simple. And he has thought it fit to allow me to do a lot. You know, and he's completely restored my life. I'm recently engaged, and he's back there. Hi, Brian. So, yeah, talk about being redeemed and restored and reclaimed, right? My past was causing me to not necessarily love myself as much as I could, right? And God saw fit to, like, enter my life and to just clean all that out. He's just like, whatever, I'm going to use you anyway. He's like, imagine that. Like, you don't have to be perfect. I will use you broken and vulnerable, and that's what I'll do. And so, let me just kind of point to one of these stories here. Okay, so I'll read this story. Okay, so, and I think we had talked about this, is one about healing. He says, on another Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person? Oh, this just gets to me. We are sheep. And he's our shepherd, right? And I was going to read Psalm 23 because that really kind of sums up my life. Like, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing, right? And that kind of posture, he makes me lie down green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, right? He refreshes my soul. Man, therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed. I love it, because like people always make Jesus out to be namby-pamby. He wasn't like that. He was rocking and rolling and teaching and doing all that, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and said to them, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. So Jesus' love was so radical that people were irritated and they wanted to kill him. That's the downside of loving like Jesus on this planet, is that it might raise up antipathy, right? As I started to move towards the deep love of Jesus and separate myself from things that would cause me to question that kind of love, it raised antipathy, right? Radically loving, not radically loving the self, radically loving God and allowing who he is to form me. And guess what? When you're formed, he wants things like excellence. He wants things, but they're coming from a good and a solid foundation. It's excellence, not because I'm trying to beat people out and look good. It's excellence because I just want to grow towards God. Like trees do, they just grow up in the image of God. They want to stand tall. They want to be, you know, seen in all their beauty, but not because they're trying to outshine someone else. So I don't know. I hope this message of whatever it is that I'm sharing is of good use to you. I think all I really wanted to say is that it's an inward and outward job, and I really hope that you guys would do that, that your souls are the most important thing going on for you. And when your soul is distressed, reach to God to find that quiet stream. Because guess what? If the Lord is the shepherd and we are his sheep, and his whole job, and they're saying in Psalm 23, is that he just kind of wants us to like enjoy life, right? He doesn't want us to be like stressed and depressed and trying to figure it out and compete and all that kind of stuff. He really wants us to eat the good fruit and to drink the living water. And so, when I do that, my life, I don't know, is beyond my wildest expectations, and it's a gift from him that I really hope to steward well. And anyway, bless you guys. And I'm just going to pray, actually, because I didn't get to do that earlier. I just want to pray and say, let's take a moment. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I am just so, so, so grateful for this unique opportunity to be in front of my fellows. You never go to Berkeley, but, you know, anyway. And just, I would say, Father God, that as you are their shepherd, that you, in just the beautiful way that you already are, would just call them to yourself in those deeper, deeper ways. May they experience the love of God tangibly, really. May the scriptures just come alive. May they be blessed with fellow travelers who are going to walk alongside them as they grow and mature in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's it. That's all I got.